Well, there have been denials from Israel that she was involved with Mossad. Of course, they would deny that, wouldn't they? We don't know. I find it very hard to believe, honestly, that someone as sloppy as her, in terms of her trying to cover her tracks, she clearly tried when she was in Iraq and also in Lebanon to disguise her real identity and to disguise the fact that she was an Israeli citizen. We know that she used, for example, pseudonyms or variations of her name in order to avoid identifying herself. She was identified frequently as Russian when she appeared in media interviews in Iraq, for example. And we know that when she was in Lebanon, according to reports that have been published, she also identified herself as Russian. She didn't want people to know she was Israeli. But that said, her efforts to cover her tracks were extremely sloppy and extremely easily exposed because, again, she had such a high-profile presence in media and in social media. So I find that very hard to believe.
Well, that's all we've got time for today, so I'd like to thank our guest, Ali Abunima, and our resident expert, Professor David Miller. And thank you. Palestine Declassified will be back next week with more forensic investigations and analysis. So until then, this is Chris Williamson saying bye for now.
In the limelight. Embracing unity in diversity and seeking common ground while respecting differences are key to driving win-win cooperation among BRICS countries. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the first part, please. Global Times wrote, BRICS expansion, a sign of the rise of the Global South, marks the decline of U.S. hegemony and its ideological bedrock, American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism portrays U.S. dominance as a permanent feature of global politics. Presumed allies and adversaries alike are expected to follow the economic, political, and military diktats of U.S. policymakers, no matter the consequences for their own sovereign development. The 15th BRICS summit in late August came after a month of increased global interest in expanding the mechanism. By the end of the summit, BRICS added six new members: Iran, Argentina, Ethiopia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. The expansion undermined Western mainstream media reports, hyping divisions within BRICS. The six new members of BRICS are a powerful signifier of a multipolar world order where no single nation calls the shots. While BRICS does not target third countries, BRICS expansion is in part a response to the perils that U.S. hegemony has inflicted on the world. Iran, for example, has experienced decades of unilateral sanctions from the U.S. regime. That Iran was admitted to the first multi-country expansion of BRICS is a testament to the mechanism's opposition to unilateral sanctions and its commitment to peaceful development. Argentina's admission to BRICS cannot be separated from the U.S. foreign policy of treating Latin America as its backyard. Neoliberal reforms pushed by the U.S. regime under the Washington Consensus have contributed greatly to the impoverishment of Argentina's economy. Powerful Wall Street hedge funds called vulture funds have exploited Argentina's debt burden by siphoning the nation's wealth with the support of the U.S. judicial system. Argentina's BRICS membership is a major step toward economic sovereignty. Ethiopia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE's addition to BRICS represents a significant shift in the geopolitical calculus on the African continent and West Asia. After the fall of the Soviet Union, the U.S. regime declared the end of history and moved quickly to secure its hegemonic interest in these resource-rich regions of the world. This led to devastating invasions of sovereign countries and persistent attempts to develop deep and unequal relationships with friendly governments. Its geopolitical relationship with Saudi Arabia has been one of the most important for the U.S. The U.S. regime has dominated the world energy market through the purchase of Saudi Arabia's vast oil reserves in U.S. dollars, the principal reserve currency in the world since the end of the Second World War. Egypt, Ethiopia, and the UAE have been important to the U.S. broader interest of maintaining dominance over North Africa and West Asia. U.S. interference in the affairs of these nations and the broader region played a role in their interest in joining BRICS. In the case of Ethiopia, the Biden administration has threatened sanctions over the country's internal conflict in the Tigray region. African and West Asian states have all received stern warnings from the U.S. that continued trade with Russia during the crisis in Eastern Europe could lead to sanctions and other forms of punishment. Global South countries share common interests and, in many cases, complementary economies. BRICS not only offers win-win alternatives to the U.S.-led financial system, but also follows a policy of non-interference in other countries' internal affairs. It is therefore in the interest of the Global South to diversify relations regardless of the status of the relationship that individual countries possess with the U.S. In fact, it is within their right under international law. BRICS is just one of many examples of growing strength of the multipolar world. Multilateral mechanisms in all spheres of development are also growing, from the Shanghai Cooperation Organization to China-led projects like the Belt and Road Initiative. BRICS' historic expansion thus injects even more hope and inspiration into a world order that has seen so much devastation from U.S.-led unipolarity and its ideological foundation of American exceptionalism.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Salam, assalamu alaykum to you.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So on different occasions, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has addressed the issue of Palestine and Israel and why Israel is a threat to today's world. Where does this sense of supremacy come from? Is it because of the historical heritage that they have? For example, we know that the Temple of Solomon exists over there, you know. They say that big treasures, you know, have been inherited to Israeli powers over there. Of course, there is a big historical background behind Israel and the establishment of Israel over there. But where does this sense of supremacy come from? Because as we see in the true religions, you are never invited to be supreme or to feel proud about the other nations or the other, for example, religions or this or that. All you are invited is to peace. You are invited to encouraging into interreligious dialogues and something like that. Where does this sense come from? Is it a new phenomenon of today's world?
Basically, in the Quran, when we see Allah says Allah is talking to two different peoples. Mm-hmm. One is Bani Israel.
Yes.
And the other is Yahud. Okay. Yahud is Judaism.
Yes.
Jews. Bani Israel was the nation.
Okay.
Like the sons of the Prophet Yaqub, as yes. Brother has mentioned. When in the Quran Allah says that فَضَّلْنَاكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, we have made you supreme over the worlds, or we gave you the authority over the worlds, that is for Bani Israel. Mm-hmm. In Bani Israel, they were Muslims. They were the true followers. After the Prophet...
You mean Islam in sense of being Taslim?
Yeah, being okay. Taslim, yeah. Yeah. Submissive. They yes, submitted, yes. They were known. Because مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِينَ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًا. Abraham was neither the Jew nor the Christian.
Okay.
So basically, this from the Bani Israel, those who were deviated, mm-hmm. they put their name as Yahud, mm-hmm. being a Jew.
Okay.
You know, for example, in Islam, let me just give an example. Like Islam is Islam. We are Muslim. Now we can see like Sunni, Shia, I don't know, they're different groups.
Yes.
These are the names which were put, like Hanafi, Shafi'i. They're the followers.
Yes. Okay.
Similarly, Yahud, as a belief that they have, which who they say like Uzair is the son of the God, this was deviation from the Bani Israel. Because in the Quran where Allah talks about the manusalwa, the things that he gave to the Bani Israel. But whenever in the Quran, I have like 8 verses in the Quran where Allah has used the word al-Yahud.
Read one of them.
Use the word al-Yahud, Yahud. Mm-hmm. In these 8 verses, Allah has condemned the Yahud, Judaism.
Okay.
For example, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةِ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is one of the concepts that the Yahud used to say that Allah's hand is chained.
Okay.
But Allah says, no, this is not me, this is you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, for example, another verse that, you know, in Yahud, those who are mushrik, obviously, they have done the shirk. So we have the verses about the Jews. Now, these are the verses about the Jews. And other than that, we have, for example, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, all those who believed. Chapter Ma'idah, verse 51. La tattakhizul yahuda wal nasara awliya. Don't take the Jews and Christians your guardian. As your guardian. Now, awliya can
referring
be guardian
to the
or
Muslims?
The friends. To the Muslims.
Okay.
To the Muslims,
that's right.
Why you need to, you should not do that? Because they are the deviated ones. بَعَضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Some of them are the close guardian of some.
Mm-hmm.
And then, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ. And whoever from you takes them as a guardian, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. He is from them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي قَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah never, you know, guides the unjust people.
That's
so
right.
They're known as unjust people.
Okay.
In today's world, the Zionism or Judaism that we have, this is Yahud. Mm-hmm. This is not Bani Israel.
Okay.
Same is the case as at the time of the Prophet, they were just the Muslims.
Yes.
They were not groups.
Yes.
later there's a deviation. But these groups,
like Kharijites, for example,
These groups never, you know, deviated or changed the holy text.
Yes.
But in Bani Israel, those who changed the holy text, then Allah straightforward came to the Quran and he talks about them as Yahud.
Mm-hmm.
Or those who are the Jews. But when he talks about the things that he gave at the time of the Prophet, for example, Prophet Moses saved the Bani Israel.
Yes.
Not the Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between these two things. We need to
this
make
is a
this
good differentiation. Yes.
But nowadays, what they believe is because they're the Jews, maybe some of them are from the descendants of Prophet Yaqub.
Okay.
Because they don't allow other people to enter. But at that time, initially in the history, we never have this that no one can become Jew or Bani Israel be the part of accepting the Islam which Bani Israel had.
Okay.
So there's a mixture of that. It's not purely they are the children of Prophet Yaqub.
And Brother Salam, is it at all right and authentic to look for a land, I mean a united land of Jews? Because they say this is our main goal, to gather all the Jews around the world in one land, in one ideal land, which belongs to our forefathers, now call them Israel. Is it at all right? Can the Christians and the Muslims also claim that, for example, we want a united land? So what happened on that time?
I think first we have to think about the idea of that.
Yes.
According to the books, what we have, Allah promised them the land and told them, أُدْخُلُ الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهِ كَتَبَ اللَّهِ, it means wajib in Islam.
Okay.
It means it is now wajib. You have to enter. And they refused. When they refused, Allah told them that you refuse, you will suffer.
Uh-huh.
You will suffer. So this is the meaning of suffering now. When you refused to enter, they told Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنها هنا قاعدون. Go you with your father, with your God and fight them. After that, we will go. No problem. They said, لَن نَدْخُلَهَا مَا دَامُ فِيهَا. We will not enter, since these people who are there, there are people in the land of Palestine who are living. And there are people who are living there. So the land was not empty land.
Yes.
The land was not empty land.
Yes.
Then Allah promised you, you have to go. You refused it. Mm-hmm. Then now you come, the problem has finished.
Yes.
That problem, the case has finished a long time ago. Now this is a new time.
Yes.
You are claiming now what you have given to you a long time ago, mm-hmm. and you refused yourself.
Okay.
And now it's not you who selected that land to enter. First, what I remember, they wanted to enter in Africa, mm-hmm. Uganda.
Yes.
And they want to go there. So the land is not the issue. Where is important place to set is more, we can say, more the big issue to us or to them again. Because the Middle East is full of what? Of material.
Yes.
Full of raw material, okay. oil and whatever. So this is not the aim of the Israel only. This is the what we call capitalism.
Yes.
And have selected by the big powers or the leaders of the world. Go there. And we are supporting. And we know that who are supporting the Israel. Or we call them Judaism.
Yes.
Yeah, or Judaist.
I see there are so many protests and demonstrations nowadays around the world because, you know, for example, Indonesia was stripped off of U20, you know, matches and the games because of not inviting Israel, you know. We could see all the allies of Israel around the world, the lobbies that they have all around the world. They have the power around the world up to an extent that, for example, an international competition is cancelled because of not the presence of Israel. We know that so many other countries also.
And I'm sorry. And even the time when South Africa were occupied or overcome by white people, who are not original from Africa, of course.
Yes, yes.
The one who stay hand to hand with the apartheid group or apartheid government was Israel.
Oh,
yeah, was Israel. Because they have been sanctioned by the world. And Israel only who stayed with them to want to get those raw material, because we know that South Africa is full of what, gold.
Yes.
So they wanted to want to benefit from this problem. So everywhere, if you have problem, they will enter and to control and to get advantage from that problem. Mm-hmm. Even you are good or bad. Mm-hmm. Just the thing what they want is to have what you have.
Okay.
Either land, either raw material.
That's all right. Still, we could see that so many of the Jewish rabbis are against the Israeli politics around the world too. So they oppose the Israel attack. Somehow they think that the Israeli powers, especially in terms of politics, you know, are somehow misusing or especially abusing the lack of the knowledge of the Jews around about their own history, okay? So that's why, for example, we could see that inside Israel, so many people are against the policies. Is it so?
Well, obviously, that is true because according to their own scripts, original texts, they should not own a land. You know, they should, because the whole land is for them.
Okay.
That is from their scripts that they sue. That's why we see many rabbis or the Jews who are, for example, we see in London coming out to the streets, in US, in other countries where they are. They come and stand with the Palestinian people.
Yes.
Against the Zionist regime. It's just because of this, because this Zionist regime is not the actual Judaism. That's another issue.
Okay.
Which we need to discuss as well. We should make this clear in our minds that Zionist regime is not Judaism, and they are not the one who wants to do something for the benefit of the Judaism itself. Rather, they are the enemies of their own selves. Why? Because they're making changes, keep making changes in the, you know, scripts. Nowadays, we can see how the you know, the things are happening within the the Israeli,
the chaos and
the chaos, right, and all those that's coming place, in this land. It's because they're changing their scripts. Their different groups now, the groups wants to make their own decisions, changing the holy scripts or bringing some new, we can say, like divine, we can say made up things. On the basis of that, they want to make new strategies. And there they have the disputes at the moment. And this shows us that, so this Zionist regime, which was basically formed in France by a French journalist, and the things that happened, what Hitler has done with them, it's because of this Zionist thought which they had, and not the actual Judaism, basically.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you, my Said Mohsen Naghvi. And Brother Salem, for a nice elaboration. Of course, we'll continue our discussion regarding the occupied Palestine and the genocide that is taking place all around the world. Why so many so-called superpowers of the world remain silent regarding the genocide and the killing of the children over occupied Palestine in all these years? Just look at the number of the casualties, you know. We will refer to the statistics, inshallah, in an upcoming session of the program. That why the powers of the world, from one side, are talking about the peace, and from the other side, are backing and supporting the children-killing regime of Israel. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim.
God bless you.
It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Mother, no father, to wipe away my tears. That's why I will cry, I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart, I never have any doubt the battle is fine. Tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us ponder on these words of wisdom from Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, the elder grandson of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Asceticism is a desire for God-fearing and the abstinence from the worldly pleasures, while clemency is the suppression of one's anger and self-possession.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیبه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
Ten minutes.
Years of civil conflict, complicated with the ongoing proxy war between NATO and Russia, have thrown Ukraine into an economic disaster with unpleasant consequences. War-stricken women from poor backgrounds with their men fighting on the front lines are being lured by the surrogate baby industry, a booming business in Ukraine. The insatiable thirst for rentable wombs in Ukraine has become a cause for concern as sporadic reports on the surrogate mothers have thrown light on a medical underworld infested with abuse and corruption. Long before engaging in war with Russia, Ukraine was known as a hunting ground for agencies seeking to prey on desperate women as a hub of prostitution, a lucrative business at the expense of poor Ukrainian girls and women. Likewise, over the past decade, Ukraine has become a breeding ground for surrogacy, again with poor women bearing the brunt. Promoted by celebrities like Kim Kardashian, Elton John, and Paris Hilton, this reproductive process was worth an estimated $14 billion in 2022, according to the research company Global Market Insights. With the restriction of surrogacy markets in Thailand and Nepal in 2015 and in India in 2019, global demand for surrogacy was channeled to Ukraine, where the process is less expensive and less regulated. Controlling one-fourth of the global market, Ukraine's Biotexcom Center for Reproduction is by far the biggest player in the international surrogacy market. While the center boasts that the company has given the joy of parenthood to thousands of couples around the world, its true history and operations reveal a tragic pattern of abuse, secrecy, malpractice, and even allegations of human trafficking. A 2020 report published in Princeton's Journal of Public and International Affairs further underscored the foreign exploitation driving Ukraine's surrogacy boom, asserting, "While proponents claim that women freely choose to become surrogates, vulnerable women are often manipulated through the presentation of choice. Potential surrogates are forced to choose between providing for their families through a practice that may violate their moral beliefs or forfeiting a financial opportunity to provide for their families." Most Ukrainians do not agree with the surrogacy business and that there is a stigma attached to women who choose to do it. A Ukrainian woman who sold her womb to foreigners said to The Guardian, "The only reason why I agreed to do this is just for the financial benefits. Plus, since my husband left for the front line, I need a way to support my other four children." Surprisingly enough, Biotexcom's medical director, Ehor Pachanoa, openly admitted to the Spanish investigative magazine La Maria that his company targets women from poor areas. In the words of Pechenoa, "We're looking for women in the former Soviet republics because logically the women have to be from poorer places than our clients." Despite Biotexcom's promotional materials flaunting its state-of-the-art facilities and luxury accommodations for surrogate mothers, multiple reports indicate its residential centers are more like a prison than a hotel. There are allegations of Biotexcom's lack of proper care for the medical needs and complications of women who bear the babies. These cases, however, are not pursued in Ukraine's chaotic legal system. The requirements to use a surrogate in Ukraine are simple. A heterosexual couple must be married, show they are medically unable to have children, and provide at least half of the child's genetic link via sperm or embryo. On average, surrogacy with Biotexcom costs between $40,000 and $50,000, with an all-inclusive VIP package going for $71,000. The German national daily newspaper Welt obtained a large number of Biotexcom documents from 2014 to 2017 showing just how little the surrogates were paid. Each contract varied, but on average, surrogates were paid $9,000 to $14,000 for carrying a child to birth. Biotexcom often charges clients five times that amount. The Ukrainian center is also no stranger to controversy. The most shocking one was that it forged documents and faked DNA tests to allow children born in Ukraine to be sold to parents who were not genetically related to them. In 2011, Biotexcom supplied a child without a confirmed DNA connection to an Italian couple in Brescia. At the same time, numerous women who have been surrogate mothers have raised dozens of allegations, including claims that Biotexcom had failed to pay them or to compensate them for loss of a pregnancy or to cover the cost of medical complications that arose during the surrogacy. Biotexcom has also been accused of tax evasion charges linked to tens of millions of funds hidden via offshore companies registered in countries such as Latvia, Cyprus, and the Czech Republic. In May 2022, the European Parliament condemned surrogacy and called for binding measures to protect women and children in Ukraine. But in reality, little has been done to empower surrogates, protect the children, or regulate the industry. Ukraine seems to have a carte blanche in violating human rights as long as the country acts as a puppet in the hands of the Western powers.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. The topic of this episode is the kindness of the Prophet.
وصلي على الهادي حبيبي جد الحسن رسولي معدن الجود إمام الحرام نبينا خير من يمشي على قدمي يا عاشق صلوا على سيد الكون سيد الكون صلى الله عليه وآله آه يا نبي.
Today, Monday, 25th of the month of Safar, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of the month of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of September, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose chapter Al-Fat, verse 29 of this chapter, to learn more about it, so we'll listen to it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are forceful against the disbelievers, merciful among themselves. You see them bowing and prostrating in prayer, seeking bounty from Allah and His pleasure. Their mark is on their faces from the trace of prostration. That is their description in the Torah. And their description in the Gospel is as a plant which produces its offshoots and strengthens them so they grow firm and stand upon their stalks, delighting the sowers, so that Allah may enrage by them the disbelievers. Allah has promised those who believe and do righteous deeds among them forgiveness and a great reward.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse opens with Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. It does not matter whether men of insignificance like it or not, or hide themselves from the sun shining on the entire world. God Almighty bears witness to His prophethood, and believers who are aware of it bear witness to the same. The blessed verse then proceeds to present a depiction of the noble prophet's companions and followers. Thus, it depicts their outward and inward characteristics, and also their thoughts, emotions, and deeds.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
During this week, we have learned about the kindness of the Prophet. So we continue. Prophet Muhammad was always counseling people to be good-hearted regardless of their sex, age, or gender. Once Asma, who was still an unbeliever, came to see her in Medina. She told this to the Prophet and said, "My mother has come to see me and she's expecting something from me. May I oblige her?" The Prophet said, "Yes, be kind to your mother." Prophet Muhammad was an extraordinary husband, a perfect father, and a unique grandfather. He was unique in every way. He treated his children and grandchildren with great compassion and never neglected to direct them to the straight path and to the good deeds. He loved them and treated them tenderly, but did not allow them to neglect matters related to the afterlife. He showed them how to lead a human life and never allowed them to neglect their religious duties or to be spoiled.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful.
Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the Prophet of Mercy, Prophet of Peace, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Mecca, his people inflicted him with every kind of suffering, eventually forcing him to emigrate to Medina, and then waged war on him for 5 years. However, when he conquered Mecca without bloodshed in the 21st year of his prophethood, he asked the Meccan unbelievers who were waiting his decision about them, "How do you expect me to treat you?" They responded unanimously, "You are a noble one, the son of a noble one." He announced to them his decision, "You may go free. No reproach this day shall be on you. May God forgive you." So this was the treatment of the Holy Prophet towards those who were his enemies. So when we say that he was the Prophet of Mercy, so it's meaningful. We talk about his mercifulness about the believers. Now we talk about his mercifulness towards his enemies, towards the Meccan people. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also very kind and affectionate towards women. Women were very badly treated in those times. The noble Prophet gave them honor and dignity at par with men in the community.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Prophet Muhammad's patience with children come to this point. Anas ibn Malik was a young boy when he had the honor of serving the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. It is narrated from him that during his 10 years of service, the Prophet never said a word of impatience or rebuke him, narrated by Anas himself. "I served the Prophet for 10 years and he never said to me, 'Off,' a minor harsh word denoting impatience, and never blame me by saying, 'Why did you do so?' or 'Why didn't you do so?' A child is bound to err at time, but we are to bear with it patiently whilst advising and guiding them. We shouldn't be constantly admonishing our young ones. Making supplications or dua for your children is also the prophetic way. It is reported that the parents' supplications for one's children are not rejected by Allah, the Almighty."
ربنا عليك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
This is today's special and one lesson from the Holy Prophet's lifestyle, being kind to your neighbors. Prophet of Islam Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, states, "Anyone who believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment should not harm his neighbor. Anyone who believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment should entertain his guest generously and should say what is good or keep quiet." The Holy Prophet taught us that by being kind to your neighbors, you are also helping build a better Islamic community as well, and that kindness to those around you, whether they be neighbors or strangers will help build a better relationship between you and Allah.
The seventh year after the Hijrah is known as Aam al-Fath, the year of liberation. Liberation of where? Mecca. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam enters Mecca in the midst of the night. Some of you might know the story. They're all wearing the ihram. The people of Mecca are snoring. They're sleeping. Rasulullah with all his companions, he says to them, tippy-toe. Don't make noise. If you're wearing boots, you take off your boots. You walk into Mecca, let them be sleeping. Don't wake them up. One of those companions who was very hurt, they had taken all his wealth from him and destroyed him and burned his home. He had the standard in his hand. He had one of the standards in his hand. He banged it when he arrived to Mecca. He says, Al-yawm yawmul malhama, al-yawm tusbal hurama. Today is the day of vengeance. Today we will take their wives and women as captives. The Arab mentality. Rasulullah told him, come. What are you saying? We said there should not be a drop of blood. What are you talking about? You're giving them fear. They're going to be afraid if you say this. Ya Ali, alayka bir raya. Ya Ali, take the raya. Take the standard of Rasulullah and say, al-yawm yawmul marhamah. Al-yawm tu'fal huramah. Today is the day of mercy. Today is the day of forgiveness. Today is the day of compassion. Today, all of you will be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. This is Islam. They enter the holy city of Mecca. The Meccans wake up in the morning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this ayah to Rasulullah. And you all say this when you go to important places, when you come to the masjid, when you go to the azakhana of Imam al-Hussein, when you travel, this ayah is recommended to be read. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَجْعَلِّي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا. Allah, I love it when people know the end of the ayah, because this shows that we have a relationship with the Quran.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was all for this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we'll meet you soon in another episode. Till then, we'll leave you in Allah's blessings. And fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta al-Nabiyul Amin, wa Sayyidul Mursaleen, rahmatan lil'alameen. جئت بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines. This hour, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says arrogant powers are fading away as the emergence of new regional and international powers is changing the world order. Iran says extra-regional powers are to blame for dust and sandstorms in West Asia due to the wars that they have imposed on the region.